Welcome to Reality of the Rose with your host, Natalie Sprink.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 66 of Reality of the Rose. I'm your host, Natalie Sprink. Well, we made it. We are officially at Bachelor in Paradise premiere, and I am so happy, could not be happier to be done with Rachel and Gabby's season, the drama, the terrible editing, the bad outfits, the disaster of a finale that we saw. Like, God, I'm just so glad to be done with two bachelorettes and just, overall thoughts of Bachelor in Paradise tonight, just to start. It's clearly a very welcome experience compared to what we've been through the last, 9 weeks. Can't believe how many good people that we have on here, and looks like there's yet to come. There's a couple of them that I don't know real well, and it's Haley and Brittany, for sure, the two of them. They were both from Clayton season, and I think we've barely seen Brittany, and not Haley very much either. So I'm kind of surprised they brought them on, unless they get more screen time coming up. I could have done without them, but, no, I think this is going to be a good season. In the preview at the end, they had a season long like trailer, and I believe it was like 40% fun, and it looked like 60% tears. But there's already couples forming. There's already, I guess, that it'll stay. We have some surprises, I think. Did we know Johnny was going to be on this season? I don't know if we did or not, but before I start recapping, we have one bit of Bachelor sort of tea news, and that is that Clayton and Susie broke up. God, I hate to hear that. I really thought they would maybe last longer. I know that I saw some people joking about whether Clayton and Rachel could get together, but doubt. Wouldn't that be funny? Wouldn't that actually be like the most ironic thing ever? I there's a small part of me that would wish that would happen, but as much as Rachel bashed Clayton on their season, I would hope that he would not stoop to that level. So I'm just saying. But I hate to hear that. And I kind of liked them together. They were funny and cute, but I guess that's over. So, and I did not see much of anything with Avon and Rachel, you know, how it ended last week. And maybe I just haven't seen it, but I don't think that there has been anything on social media about the two of them like being seen together. I just don't think that's going to end up happening. Still think that Avon should have been the Bachelor, think that Ethan should have been the Bachelor, or think that Nate should have been the Bachelor. But what do I know? I mean, what do I know? All right, so let's get recapping. How about it? All right, so we start off with Jesse sort of introducing the show. And did you notice that he, I really notice a lot of like little details. So I noticed that he was walking up from like what looked like the water, like up, like onto land, like perpendicular to the water. And you could tell there was numerous footprint tracks, like back and forth. Like it was almost like a path. Like he had several takes to get that first scene, because there was like a definite same path. So, okay. So we have Jesse doing that. We start off with Hunter. Now, I really liked Hunter on Clayton season. I really liked her. She has a super cute Instagram. I think that she's just the cutest. I was disappointed she didn't get much time on Clayton season. And I hoped that because she was starting off this season, maybe she would get much more screen time on this season. However, I am not sure if she will or not. She did not on this episode, so I was kind of disappointed with that. But God, there's so many people. That's the hard part about Bachelor in Paradise, is there's so many people that it makes me curious how they decide to edit it. Like, how do they decide who gets the most screen time and who doesn't? Because I feel like to an extent there's drama with everybody or most people. But there's definitely the people that get more screen time than others, considering that there's very many people on the beach. So either way, she started off, she talks about having IBF. Now, again, she didn't get much screen time. I do not remember them talking about her IBF on Clayton season, which to her credit is probably a good thing that I don't remember that, because I don't feel like that's really something you want to be known for, is your IBF. But then she talks about wanting to be curious about, or she's curious about, like, the guys that were on Gabby and Rachel's season. She doesn't specifically mention anybody, but we see that her and Johnny are supposedly hitting it, right? Her and Johnny, yeah, are hitting it off, which that would be great. I like Johnny and I think they would be cute. No, was it Johnny? I have to check my notes. Okay. So then we have Serene. She was also in Clayton's season. She was like, what, fourth runner up, something like that. Really liked her. She talks about being excited to meet Brandon. So these were not like them coming to sand. These were just like doing their little like hometown pieces, and they're not hometown pieces, but the little like spotlight pieces on each person, like back home or back at the hotel or whatever. So then we see, okay, so she says she's excited to be Brandon. So cue Brandon, who was on Michelle's season. Remember, he was the runner up, to Nate, and he was super heartbroken. Like, he was definitely there for the right reasons. Like, super nice guy. Seems really just cute, authentic. Then we have Kira. She's Clayton season. I don't remember Kira either. No, I remember hearing the name because I've always liked that name. So I remember the name and sort of kind of remember her, but she is going to be I'm guessing the villain for this Paradise season somewhat, specifically with Jill on this show, which I honestly don't know which one I'm going to root for if they continue to be like enemies or whatever. What am I trying to say? But I, because Jill is a bit weird. I don't know if anyone else gets that weird vibe from Jill. I'm not sure how you don't, but I don't know. She's strange a little bit. And I can't decide if it's because she's a little bit cringe. And I can't decide if it's because I'm finally watching a Bachelor show where people are just freely talking, like just having just a normal conversation like you'd have with your friends versus like the forced girl talks that we had to see Rachel and Gabby have, like forced almost scripted girl talks, where the girl talks on Bachelor in Paradise are like there's really four girls sitting in a circle talking and it's very much not scripted and you know what I mean? Just like completely from the hip. And so sometimes those kind of conversations on TV can come across as awkward because it's not like what you want to see on TV. Does that make sense? So I don't know. It feels weird. I mean, maybe it's just because I'm not used to it, but either way, Kira specifically says, like she's a doctor, which, wow, I'm curious how her career will progress after this show, but she walks on the beach with a doctor's coat on, and she says something along the lines of, "You're not feeling well," and then opens her coat to reveal her bikini top. And she says, "Well, take two of these and call me in the morning." I was like, whoa, aggressive first words for Bachelor in Paradise. Okay. And then she says she's there not to find love or fall in love. She's there to count the times that she goes and the number of men she goes to the boom boom room with. So, okay. Definitely there for, well, call them right or wrong reasons. I guess it depends on your goals. And then she says she honestly thinks in another life she would be a porn star. So there we have the profile of Kira. And then so she's going to find love. Then we have Jacob, who is Gabby and Rachel's season. Remember, Jacob is the guy with the ponytail who told Gabby that if it was only her, that he couldn't bring himself to stay. And, but that then at the mental all, he was super apologetic about that. And, turns out he's just a little goofy. And I somewhat had him pegged as just like a cliche blonde, you know, we didn't necessarily see that on Gabby and Rachel season, but I believe that we're very much seeing it on on this Paradise season. So we got Jacob. He talks about never wearing a shirt. They show him pushing a grocery store cart through the store, and like taking a bite of a peach and liking peaches and drinking margaritas and liking women with thicker eyebrows. So yeah, that important stuff. Then we get Genevieve. She was on Clayton season. She says she's focused on Justin. Then we get Shanae, which is Clayton season. We all know Shanae. She also is talking about wanting to focus on Justin, or that she has her eye on Justin. Then of course we get Justin, who was on Katie's season. He was the one, he was runner up, remember, but he was like the runner up that was really never the runner up. It was just because someone had to be a runner up, but Katie was never going to pick him. But he had like the tremendous face play, like best face play ever. So we got Justin, and then we have Jill, Clayton season. She's the one that's going to, she says she's going to let her freak flag fly. Say that 15 times fast. And she's definitely going to do that. I forgot that she said that. And so, yes, she is a little odd. She apparently has a cat at home. And she pretends she's packing it. And then she pretends like when she unpacks it, it's still there, but it's actually a stuffed cat. So, okay. And then we have Michael A, who's Katie's season, and he's got the little boy, and everyone has been pushing for Michael to be the bachelor ever since Katie's season. He's instead made it to Paradise, which might be a better fit for him. He talks about his son and wanting to find a mother figure for him. And he's kind of connecting with Sierra, which is great, but she's only 26. So I don't know, who knows, maybe they'll work it out. But I feel like because I've seen her social media and she seems like she kind of enjoys being young and single, and not sure if she's ready to be a mom, but you know, I guess it's possible. All right, so that was the end of segment one. We cut to segment two, and we get them arriving on sand. So we find out who is going to get first sand. Sometimes the order of the sand, who takes sand first, is who gets the screen time. Not always, but a lot of the time. So if you're first sand, chances are you're going to have a focus on you. And if that is the case this season, it definitely has displayed itself on this first episode, because Serene is first sand and she got quite a bit of screen time. So we get Serene as first sand. We get Michael A as second sand. We get Andrew Spencer as third sand. He was also Katie's season. We get Genevieve, who is fourth sand, Clayton season. We get Johnny, fifth sand, who is this season. Teddy, who is Clayton season. She's six sand. We see Teddy and Andrew sort of talking right away when she comes down the steps. Then we have Casey. Was Casey on Katie's season? I guess he had to be on Katie's season. I think he's 37 and they keep calling him the geriatric millennial. And I don't know why he gets that title, because Michael is 38. So he's actually older than Casey, but Casey comes down. He definitely looks older though, because he's got like already graying hair. But I don't remember if he's famous for anything, but anyway, he's seven sand. Haley, she's from Clayton season. She's eight sand. I don't know who she is. And Brittany's ninth sand. So the two of them not being nobodies, it feels like they're getting a pretty high sand placement for who they are. I don't know. Jill gets 10th sand. So here's where I guess my theory would be proven wrong as far as screen time and what place of sand you get, because Jill got a ton of Jill and Kira did on this show. So we'll see. Hunter got 11th sand. Sierra, who is from Clayton season, who is with Michael, got 12th. Jacob, so here he comes in his, of course, no shirt, but he's got like the Tarzan look going on with his long hair, but he's got the little leaf, you know, like leaf, like G-string thing on. You know, they made a big deal about that. And he comes up and walks up to the girls and is like talking to them and, you know, not being afraid to put that leaf right in their face, just put that right out there for them to not look at, to try hard not to look at. He was 13th sand. And then Shanae ends this segment as 14th sand and the little cliffhanger. So we cut to segment three. We continue with Shanae walking down the steps. She actually got some time with Jesse where she talks about how she just wants to have fun on this show. And, you know, she ITMs that she is there to find love and doesn't really care if people like her or not. But I feel like that's not the truth, because she's already coming off. Well, okay. So we start off where she just approaches the guys. The girls are they're all pretty much from one season so far, Clayton season. They see her coming down the steps, but she approaches the guys first and they all greet her and talk about how pretty she is and how gorgeous her eyes are, blah, blah, blah. But then she goes to the girls and, Genevieve makes some kind of comment about how she's scared that Shanae is going to fall for whoever she falls for. This is why, I don't know. I don't know why they spoil themselves so much, because I think it would be so much more entertaining if we didn't know some of this stuff was coming up. So I think it was at the beginning where they showed a scene with Genevieve and Shanae, like in an ITM together, and them Genevieve saying, "I used to hate her." And she was like, "I used to hate her." Clearly meaning they don't hate each other anymore. But whatever, Genevieve is kind of starting this narrative, which we, I guess, know is not going to happen because they've already spoiled it. But Shanae comes over like saying, "Hey, I'm Shanae 2.0. I just want to have a good time, show you guys how much fun I can be, blah, 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 blah." So I feel like they are going to have a redemption arc for little old Shanae. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink here. So then here comes Justin. He is 15th sand. And Jesse has him, funny enough, do some face play. Like, okay, let's do a scared face. Let's do a surprise face. Let's do a happy face. It was really funny. Yeah, I'm like doing the faces right now, even though you obviously can't see them. You know, it's a thing with podcasts. You can't see me, right? Maybe that's a good thing. So they have Justin and Genevieve already start talking. They're talking about Croc shoes He doesn't know what a Norwal is, but she's got a little Norwal button thing for her Crocs. And then they talk about fruit and which fruits they like and which they don't, which honestly, these are about the most, they act like that these conversations are supposed to be so superficial and weird and random, but aren't these the kind of conversations that you're supposed to kind of have with someone when you just meet them, and like the kind of fun conversations that, so you're not like immediately giving your PTC to the bachelorette and, you know, telling her all these things that you love their journey and you really feel a connection, blah, 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 blah. How do you have two shows that are made by the same people that all these people have been on that are so different? It's amazing. So then we get Shanae and Jacob. They're talking and sort of joking around as well. And man, Jacob just reaches right in there for the kiss and they make out very quickly. After they do that, Jacob talks about ITMs that he sells his leaf on. And he talks about his leaf turning into a full-blown tree if they keep making out, which I thought was pretty clever. And then he sort of references like having sex, and she says, "We are not having sex." So like, again, like some just like fun banter, like just fun teasing, little bit awkward flirting kind of conversation, which is like, again, normal real life. It's not like the, like just the stiff scripted stuff we get on the Bachelor and Bachelorette. I love it. Cut to segment 4 and we get Lace that comes down. I'm not going to like her. Definitely. She's not going to be the villain. Not in that sense, but she is going to get on my last nerve. I'm not going to like Lace. Well, not on this first show. I did not like Lace. I think she is going to be this person that's like, oh, I'm like I'm the most seasoned one here. I really know what's going on. The last Bachelor in Paradise I was on was way better. She was already doing that this season. And I'm like, then why did you come? You knew that you were going to be, she's not the oldest. The two, Michael and Casey are older than her by like 5 and 6 years, but she is just, I don't know. So she was on Ben's season. She's 32 and she says she just has more to offer now and that no one is more surprised to see her on Bachelor in Paradise than herself, which she was 25 when she was on Ben's season. Whatever. So then we have Logan. Of course, he is this season. We have Brandon, who was Michelle's season. This is who Serene was after. And of course, Brandon walks right up to Serene. They kind of made it seem like they had not talked prior to the season, but I always think that's a little convenient when you have all these people coming down. So let's see, Lace is 16th sand and Logan's 17th, Brandon's 18th. So that's 18 people down there already. And we got about like half men, half women, but yet we still have Brandon going straight to Serene and Serene talking about how she can't wait till Brandon comes here. And it's like he beelines to her, barely saying hi to anyone else. And they go off and talk and literally they have this, but again, they have this like weird flirty conversation where they keep talking about how nervous they are to talk to each other. But they're doing this like flirty thing where she talks about how she can tell he's a personal trainer. And again, it's like awkward and a bit cringy, but I love it because it seems like real. Like you're going to probably often have cringy, sort of awkward initial conversations if you like someone, have never met them or haven't talked to them very often. But they act like they haven't talked. But I do wonder if they weren't in each other's DMs or if they didn't have some of their peers around them saying, oh man, Brandon, Serene can't wait to see you. And hey, Serene, Brandon, can't, you know what I mean? So I don't know. But so yes, they're flirting and it's a bit awkward, but then they go right in for the kiss. We have then Romeo come down. He is on Michelle's season, so he would be 19th sand. And so here starts the Romeo, Jill, Kira thing. So Romeo and Jill go and talk. Apparently This is what I am deducting happened. So Romeo and Jill must have had a thing, but I don't know if that was a serious thing. It seems like maybe they were friends and it went a bit further, or could have gone a bit further. But then Romeo and Kira are friends. They are friends, but maybe he kissed her one night or something along those lines. And so Jill is a little annoyed by that and irritated by that. So Romeo and Jill are talking, and whatever, it's clear that Jill's talking about how she hopes Kira doesn't come down because she's sure she's going to just interrupt them and she's going to go after Romeo as well. And of course that cues Kira to come walking down the steps. I also wish I knew how this was all handled, because they obviously all conveniently are talking about a person who they hope comes down the steps or hope doesn't come down the steps, and then cue that person coming down the steps. So she comes down the steps and she goes right up to them, like seriously walks straight to them and like sits down next to Romeo and is like, oh, can I have a drink? I'd love a drink. And hang on, let me see how much time I got left. Okay. I'd love a drink, and just grabs Jill's drink, and Jill's like, whatever. And she walks off, and we have the end of segment 4. And I'm going to stop because I'm almost at 30 minutes and I have to cough. So I will be right back. Okay, I got that little coughing thing out of my system, I hope. All right, so then we cut to segment 5. This one's a short one. Basically, we have Jesse come and talk to them about how Bachelor in Paradise works, how you have to get a rose from someone at the end of each week or at the end of every 3 days or whatever it is. And if you don't, you go home. And then they all go to their respective parts of the compound. Girls go to their rooms, guys go to theirs, and they spend pretty much this segment having the girls talk about kind of who they are all sort of interested in. And then they show the guys doing the same. You know, the guys cut a few jokes, like Jacob doesn't remember one of the girls' names, but he said he had a really good conversation with her, but doesn't remember her name, stuff like that. But, so then it jumps to the night and they get the first date card comes, and it is to Andrew, and he asks Teddy and she accepts. So we cut to segment 6 and we're on Andrew and Teddy's date. And they talked about how they're looking forward to meeting each other. And again, I hate to keep like saying this over and over, but why are these dates, why can these dates be so much more natural and realistic and like authentic and sort of real? Why can't they do that on The Bachelor and Bachelorette? And I know that the whole atmosphere is just different because you have more guys, and like the guys and girls, they all have choices on this show, but that still shouldn't have to do anything. Why can't they show the lead having just a normal, fun, awkward, even conversation with the contestants on the other two shows? I don't understand, because they seem to have this, like they're trying to make each other laugh and they crack little funny jokes, and they say something about how the two of them were talking about how they each sort of were hoping the other was there. And she's like, yeah, I'm content getting to know you. And he joked about, hey, you want to leave? And she's like, oh, are you ready to propose already? He's like, he turns around and is like, is Neil Lane in? Is he here anywhere? You know, like stuff like that. It was just like so, it was so refreshing to watch. I'm so glad to be watching it. So then, so they like just show them on their date, just having a good time and being very interested in each other. And then they cut back to the beach and they show Justin telling Genevieve that he's really interested in her. And then they kiss. And then they show them going into the hot tub and kissing. Okay, so we have just like some connections going on here. So we got Andrew, Teddy, we have Justin and Genevieve. Then we cut to segment 7 and we go back to Andrew and Teddy. And this is actually where they did this little getting engaged sort of joke. And they admit to both being extremely attracted to each other, and then they kiss again. So clearly we got this as a couple. And I have a feeling that this one will probably go fairly far. I'm so sorry. I might be wrong. This is the first show, but they seem to genuinely, although they also show previews of, what is his name? What is the guy? Aaron Clancy. They show him coming on later. So he was on The Last Paradise, and he was the one that ended up leaving with his buddy, James, right? So they ended up leaving together. Not together, but they, neither one of them found love, and they're like best friends from Katie's season. Is that right? Anyway, he comes back again, and they have what looks to be he and Teddy together, and like he's upset and she's crying. I don't know if that's creative editing for the trailer to throw us off, but it could be that possibly Andrew and Teddy do not last. Either which way, they have good connection on the first show. So I'm so sorry. That reminds me, a while ago, we were watching the news, and I always have this problem on my podcast. Well, you know, I don't have that many people listening to me. So if I cough, you know, I hate it and it's gross, and I don't want you to have to like hear me cough. And I suppose I could edit it out. But on our news a while ago, or it's our local news, but there was a girl that was like the anchor, and she was reporting on a story, and there was something else on the screen, you know, she's background talking, and she must have got a tickle in her throat, and she started coughing, and she couldn't stop coughing. She couldn't stop coughing. Oh my God, wouldn't that be a nightmare to be on TV and to like on the news? I mean, it's live, it's the news, and you can't like, and so they had to actually cut to a commercial because she couldn't stop coughing. God bless her. And here I cough, and I just make you listen to me. All right. So where were we at? Okay. They admit to being attracted to the kiss. Okay. So then this is, yes, it was Hunter and Johnny, because then they show Hunter and Johnny and they are like sitting by the pool and they start kissing. So that's good. And then they show Sierra and Michael talking, and they seem quite into each other, and he talks about his son, and she seems very like empathetic and like interested in him talking about his little boy. And then then this is where we get Lace, and just so she is complaining about how this is the most boring season she's ever seen in her life. Okay, like I hate when people use those aggressive terms that are so definitive, like this is the most boring season I've ever seen in my life. Okay, you're 32. You were on one season. How many seasons have there been? Not that many. So calm down. Like it, okay. It's the first day. What is she even talking about? So then she like complains, like, how is she like, how am I not even being pursued? I don't even start. How am I not being pursued? Maybe that's why, because you just are bitching all the time. So she's like just laying in her bed, and Shanae comes to check on her, and she was just complaining blah, blah, to Shanae. And Shanae, like, here, this is where I think Shanae is going to get a redemption arc, because she's like, come on, like, just come out and talk. Everybody's wondering where you are. I was wondering where you are. She's like, I don't want to know. Like, no one even seems interested that I'm out there. Like, I just walk up to people and they just walk away. And I don't even, nobody even, blah, blah, blah. And Shanae's like, well, come with me. I'll talk to you. I've got your back. Let's go have a drink. And then she's complaining again. I don't even fit in here. And I don't even know anybody. And all these people are from the same season. And blah, blah. And Shanae's like, that's okay. I'm here. Like, just let's go out. Let's talk to people. Oh, God. So I would just say, fine. Just lay here and cry. I don't care. So finally, I guess she convinces her to go to the bar. And then she's all... Then she acts like it's her birthday. So she tells people it's her birthday. It's really not her birthday. She only tells Wells, who, oh, we got introduced to Wells a while ago. So he's the bartender again. I forgot about that. So she's acting like it's her birthday, and everyone believes it. And she's getting attention by saying it's her birthday. She walks up to Logan and she has this little cake thingy and asks if he wants to go talk. Oh, she also told Shanae that the only person she's even really into is Logan. Like, she's not into anybody else. She just is so weird. So then she and Logan are talking and she awkwardly and just, it's a very like, it's like, I don't, it's not passive aggressive, but she's being like condescending aggressive. I'm not sure if I'm describing it the right way, but she feels like she thinks she's really funny and that everyone's like, oh, Lace, she's really one of the original like Bachelor people, like, oh, I really admire her because this is Lace, like she's a should be on some pedestal or something. And I feel like they're all thinking the exact opposite, like, this is old lady Lace, why is she here? So she tells Logan that he's the only person that she is interested in, and he doesn't seem super receptive, like a little but not a lot. And he calls her loose and she's like, what? And I guess he doesn't know her name is Lace, not loose. And so he called her loose and she's like, well, he's like, what? Isn't that your name? And she's like, she doesn't tell him her name, but she starts laughing and awkwardly laughing, like almost like a mad laugh, I guess. But then she was making fun of him saying her name was Loose. And she was like, oh, like Loosey Goosey. What? God, stop. Quit. It's not even funny. I don't like her. All right. So then we cut to segment 8. I'm very glad that that's done. And then we get another shot of a crab. Oh my God. We have seen so many crabs on the show already. Like, I wonder how many. I did hear that they're very prominent on this beach, that's not a joke. So, but like, we see a lot of them. The camera zooms in on a lot of crabs. So then we get Sarah and Michael again, and she also tells him that he's the only one she's really interested in. And he ITMs that he could really see a life with her, which this always cracks me up when they're saying this, like on the first night. they literally haven't even been together 24 hours yet. But then Jill is talking about Romeo with the girls and how Kira stole her drink earlier. And again, this is like, Jill's being that, like that weird kind of aggressive and being like, who does that? You know, that kind of stuff. It was just weird. But so then they show Romeo come and he pulls her, and they go like lay in a bed, and he tells her he does not have a connection with Kira and that he does feel like that they have a connection and that he's into her. And she is like, I know. Okay. I mean, what are we going to do? But then she's like, you have to show more action. You have to show more action. And like, obviously she's wanting a kiss. So he leans in and kisses her. And then we see Kira, sort of like pouting, or I don't know, she's sitting by herself. And then she goes to look for them and finds them and approaches them. And Jill sees it. And she's like, they show them like, oh, say the quick kissing. And she's like, oh, here she comes. Okay, Romeo. Okay. What are we going to do? Come on. What are we going to do? And, she comes up and Jill just like leaves and says, I was good. You're great timing. I was going to leave anyway. And Jill starts to have this super weird ITM about Kira. And it seems like she's crying, but yet she's laughing and she's like talking about how Kira is stay away. And it's very cringy, weird again. And I don't really even know what she's trying to verbalize. She's definitely not articulating herself well at all. And I guess she's, I don't know. It was this very strange ITM. And she ends it by literally screaming, like screaming to the top of her lungs. So, I mean, yeah, very, very well spoken, Jill. Nice. All right. So then we're at segment 9. Romeo, we cut back to them. Romeo is telling Kira that he and Jill are connecting. And she asks romantically. He says yes. And Kira tries to make the point that it's paradise so that he could make other connections if he wants to, because that's why they're there. But he says he would like to pursue Jill and he would like her to let him pursue Jill and give him that freedom. She says she'll let him do that. Oh, thank you, Kira. And then Kira ITMs that she got played and she hates them. Okay. I mean, she is, it seems like her personality is very professional. Like for a doctor, an MD, I guess she's an MD, but I bet that all of her patients are super impressed with her at this point. then Kira gets like pissed off and goes and pulls Jill and asks her if she has a problem with her. And then they start arguing on the beach and Kira, keeps like accusing Jill of things. And she's like, what? I mean, what are you what? And she's so animated and aggressive. There's that cough again. And then Kira says that Jill is slut shaming her. And she's like, again, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you're the one that keeps like interrupting me and Romeo, and I don't interrupt you and you're having conversations. And I don't really know what she's talking about, actually, that she's slut shaming her, because I mean, at least from what we've seen and heard, she hasn't slut shamed her. She's just like said, quit interrupting us and trying to steal the guy I like. I don't think that's slut shaming. So then Jill walks away and she's totally bawling, crying. Jill is not Kira, but Jill. And then Kira goes to the bar and she then ITMs that Romeo handled it like a little boy and that she needs a man. And now she's really free to enjoy paradise. Okay. So I'm glad that Romeo and Jill cut you free so that you could really enjoy paradise. That's an interesting theory. And then they show her with Casey. And so then she's laying on the bed playing with Casey's nipples. So strange. In the meantime, Jill, or they make it look like Jill is still crying. She's still crying. I'm not exactly sure even what she's crying about, because I'm not sure. Again, I think Jill's a little strange. All right. So then we cut to segment 10, the last segment, and it is Logan and Johnny in the morning. So it's the next morning and Logan and Johnny are teasing Casey about having his nipples played with a lot the previous night. And then they have Genevieve talking, ITMing about Justin and how her and Justin have this great connection and it's so great and it's so great. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's an 11. I'm not kidding, she says. And they show them sitting by the pool and like being really friendly. So we know this is going to lead to something. And what it leads to is Victoria Fuller. So we knew Victoria Fuller was going to be on this season. Definitely thought she would be way higher sand than 20th. I think she's 20th sand. And, but I guess she cliffhangers the show. So I guess that's the next best thing. But she comes down, she ITMs that she thinks there's some potential with Justin, or at least she's interested in him. And that's it. That was the end. Sorry. Ended on a cough. That was pleasant. So obviously, we're going to segue into her trying to steal Justin away from Genevieve. I don't know. So I have a feeling Victoria may have her pick of guys. Kind of glad to have her in there. She, if you don't remember, she caused all the drama on Peter's season, Pilot Pete's, where she threw this fit right as they were going to go into her hometown. I don't even remember what the fit was about. I think it was about the fact that she dated someone before. I don't remember, but her and Peter had this big fight on her front lawn. Anyway, she's pretty hardcore into the Bachelor Nation, and it's interesting her showing up. So could be interesting. They, I said that about three times, didn't I? I think she'll be a good addition. So then they show a ton of previews, and yeah, that's it. It looks like there's our Bachelor in Paradise. I know Bachelor in Paradise is infamous for sometimes having two nights in a row, like having Tuesday and Wednesday night shows. I don't think that's the case so far. They may very well lead up to that, but these are a bit hard to recap because there's so much happening and there's so many things and so many conversations happening. So bear with me as I do my best to keep all these relationships straight and try not to go overboard with the details, but yet get the good stuff in there. But if there ever is two shows in 1 week, I will probably watch them both and then just recap them in one show. So I think this is the only one this week, and we'll see what happens after this. I also think that I heard that The Bachelor is going to start filming. Well, we know that Zach's a bachelor and it's going to start filming in a couple weeks, but it will air the first week of January, just like it always does. So that's that. That's a wrap. Wasn't even an hour. That's what happens for Bachelor in Paradise, I think, you know, it's like there's almost too much to recap that, that you like filter it down to much less time. So thank you everybody for listening. I'm sorry I coughed a million times during this show and then cleared my throat again to end it again. As usual, if you guys can go and rate, review, go down to the little review section and just say any old little good thing that you think of to help me out in my small little podcast here. I make it a little bit bigger. I would love it so much. And appreciate it so much as well. But thank you. I've said thank you 100 times. I'm sorry I'm repeating myself. Bible verse I'm ending on this week is Romans 8 verse 31. And it is, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? So I hope you all have a good week, good weekend. And we will be recapping next week. Same time, same place. Thanks. Bye.